when I was last before you, we discussed the obstacles of salvation, specifically was a change of heart necessary for salvation? I think we definitively answered that as a resounding yes. But this morning I want to come back to, we talked about influence in our Bible study, and one of the things I had said in a lesson earlier this year, I think it was in July, coming out of June, but I talked about that one of the influences that plays a key role for most of us is the influence of a mother. So we're going to talk about that. It's not May, but I promised earlier this year that we were going to stop waiting for May to talk about that, and waiting for June to talk about fathers. And when we're talking about influence, mothers are just too big of an influence to saddle to one Sunday a year. So I want to talk about the influence of a godly mother this morning. But first we're going to start back where we were in Bible study. For those of you who didn't have a chance to join us, we started our Bible study talking about influence from the context of Christ's Sermon on the Mount. That's, of course, found in Matthew chapter 5. So my first reading for this morning will come from Matthew chapter 5, where we'll go back to verses 13 through 16, where it says, Christ says to those assembled, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And being a good manager of what God has given us, we sometimes refer to as stewardship. And when we say stewardship, sometimes people think of money, but stewardship is more than that. One of the primary things that we have the responsibility to manage for God, is the influence that God gave us over others. Right? Influence, simply put, is getting others to follow you. Everyone has influence. Right? We are the salt of the earth. So when we think of our influence, we just have to think, well, what does my influence look like? Right? Is God pleased with my influence? I read of a mother, an anecdote of a mother who was taking her little boy to school since the dad had to go to work early. And the little boy on their walk to school kept looking around on their way to school. And halfway to school, the little boy asked his mom, "Mom, where are the idiots?" She said, "Well, what do you mean?" Well, the little boy said, "Usually Dad and I see at least three or four idiots on the way to school." Whether it's over your kids or your coworkers, your family or your friends, we all have influence. Right? Our children sometimes remind us of that. Right? The question is, what direction is your influence leading people? Mothers are special people. I think we would all agree on that. Mothers probably would like to be able to eat a whole candy bar by themselves. I don't know that you ever have. Mothers know that their kitchen utensils are probably going to end up in the toy area. Mothers often have sticky floors, filthy ovens, but happy kids. Mothers know that dried Play-Doh doesn't come out of carpet. Mothers will sometimes ask, "Why me?" and get their answer when a little one says, "Because I love you the best, Mommy." Mothers know that a child's growth is not measured by height or years or grade. For some, it's just marked by the simple progression from mama to mom to mother. But mothers are an integral part of our lives. None of us would be, or most of us, can't say none of us, wouldn't be who we are without our mothers. Some of the most famous men in history have acknowledged the same. Right, it was George Washington who once declared, "All I am, I owe to my mother." And it was Napoleon Bonaparte, new movie coming out about him, that said, "Give us strong mothers and we will have strong sons." And Abraham Lincoln once said, "Behind every great man is a great mother." This was also true of one of the greatest men in the Old Testament. So I want you to turn your Bible this morning to Exodus chapter 2. The man I'm speaking of is Moses. Moses became the kind of man he was because of the type of mother he had. So much time is spent speaking and studying the men of the Bible. Right? But behind many of them are heroes in the form of women, in the form of mothers. Many a congregation, even today, you know this, within the body of Christ, is in debt to women of faithful determination who've raised and taught generations of children, of people who have added their church service and labor to already busy schedules, already full schedules. And nothing will have a more profound and lasting influence in the lives of our children than having good, godly examples in their homes. Moms have been called to a life that's a demonstration of God's love. So we're going to consider the example of Moses' mother this morning. I say it is Jochebed. I've never met anyone in my 40 years with this name, so I've never had her correct me as to how she wants it pronounced. But Moses' mother, the example of faithful determination. Those are two words I would use to describe her. As she remains strong, Jochebed is in the book of Exodus, because Moses wrote the book of Exodus. And we know without his mother, there is no Moses. So, as we open up Exodus, how do we end up here? How do we end up with the well-known story of Moses? Well, we have to remember back to Joseph. Joseph leads his family into Egypt to save them from famine. His family stays and multiplies. Right? And by the time of Pharaoh, the Hebrews had multiplied so greatly that Pharaoh now fears the people would outnumber the Egyptians and take over the nation. I'm paraphrasing. I know my biblical scholars are like, okay, generally how it goes. So he commands in Exodus chapter 1 that all newly born Hebrew boys be thrown into the crocodile-infested Nile River. Right? Whether you saw that from the Disney movie or you've read it yourself, that's in Exodus chapter 1. So let's look at Moses' mother. She was a godly mother. We know Moses isn't her only child. We know of Aaron, because we learn about Aaron. We know of Miriam, right? But now she has Moses. She's an Israelite. It's described as that chapter 2 opens. She's an Israelite from the tribe of Levi. I normally say Levi because that's probably the blue jeans. I don't know that's how he pronounced it. Her dilemma that was, if we try to put it into modern day context, right? She was living in a hostile work environment. Right? Say a hostile work environment because her life wasn't easy. She had only known the curse of slavery. Right? Exodus chapter 1 describes this in verse 13 and verse 14. It says, "And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor." It's a hard life. But the godly woman doesn't complain or give up. Even though life under normal circumstances is hard, right? What is the circumstances of this? Well, the circumstances of this, we know, is by decree Pharaoh at the end of chapter 1 decrees, right, that all of the firstborn, every son that is born, you shall cast into the river. Every daughter you shall save alive. Right? So she's expected not only to work rigorously within the kingdom, but now that she has Moses, she's expected to kill her own baby. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 tells us there went a man of the house of Levi and took his wife, a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Desperate, courageous. She's deceiving, or basically objecting to the king's order, it tells us, for 3 months. When asked by the Pharaoh why they weren't killing the boy babies, Hebrew women were too vigorous, right? Jochebed, though, had to do something to save her Moses. Moses wasn't an inconvenience to her, but an opportunity to be faithful. And Jochebed's actions proved that she feared God more than she feared Pharaoh. Right? We see that in the New Testament. In the New Testament, just to segue, looking at this life, it tells us in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men." And if it was true then, it's true now. If it was true in the New Testament, it's true in the Old Testament. Right? When she could no longer hide him, verse 3, "She took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the riverbank." Right? She puts her baby in the basket, and his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done with him. Right? When she realized she could no longer hide her infant son, she makes a little cradle, tells us of reeds which were planted, to be a protection against the crocodiles, suppose. It's a difficult choice for any mother. Then she placed the cradle with its treasure of Moses secretly amongst the thrush and told Miriam, her young daughter, to stand near to watch over the small craft. What is she doing? This mother, placed in an impossible position, puts the situation in God's hands. Right? And that's where we all need to arrive. Are we capable, like she was, of placing the situation in God's hands? Right? It says in verse 2, she hid him for 3 months. But when it reached the point where she no longer felt she could protect him, she placed the situation. She had the faith in God to protect her baby. She believed that God would take care of the child. All she had was that faith. Right? And we have those same circumstances today. Our times when our faith in God is all we have. Right? It's what Isaiah said. Right? In chapter 7, verse 9, he put it as, "If you do not stand firm in your faith, then you will not stand at all." right? This is a literal application of what Isaiah was saying, right? Jochebed fully entrusted her child to God's safekeeping. And we use it, I use it as an example, because it's used as an example even in the New Testament. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, it's in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, where as part of the message it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Right? This has been taught for thousands of years, that faith that his mother had. Right? She was at, we know the rest, that she was at the riverside at the right time, and that God intervened in saving this particular baby, and that Moses would live the first 40 years of his life under the royal protection and all the advantages that came from being a part of Pharaoh's palace. And that years later, he would lead God's people out of oppression, slavery, certain death. Right? God worked with Moses' mother's faith. Think of what she was going through. Children were being murdered around her each day. Do you think she understood why God was allowing it? Do you think she understood God's plan? She trusted God with her son. And her faithfulness came with a price. She had to give him up. But it also came with a reward. Often faithfulness means giving up something we can't keep, and that trusting that God has something better in store. From Exodus chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, it tells us, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark amongst the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. It's no accident that when Pharaoh's daughter sees the baby boy and hears his crying, she has compassion on him. God caused Pharaoh's daughter to save Moses. And God prepared his mother to nurse the child. What a blessing. Right? To go from thinking you were losing your son, potentially, seeing what was happening, to recognize what did God do for her, right? For this mother, right? She's going to get to nurse and raise the child at a wage. She's off of the hard labor of the bitter bondage of mortar and brick that we read about and laboring in the field. And now Pharaoh's going to compensate her for raising her son. Not only was the infant saved, but she was paid to care for him until he was weaned. God honored her faith by catapulting her son from a death sentence to a royal position in the kingdom of Pharaoh. And God continuously rewards an obedient faith today. Moses' mother was a godly mother who laid the foundation for Moses during the first 5 or 6 years of his life. She would serve as the chief influence used by God during his early formative years in preparing Moses for the calling of God to lead his people out of bondage. Right? This is talked about more from the Hebrew writer. And I read Hebrews 11 and 23. Let me go back to verses 24 through 27 is where it says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Right. Moses endured because he was raised by his mother, and if God had taken care of her, and she had placed her trust in him, so she raised Moses to place her place his trust in God. And can we trust God the way Moses' mother Jochebed did? Are you willing to let go and allow God to work in your life the way he does for Jochebed? Do you know the Lord? Are you influencing others by living your life? Right. We have to reject the influence of the world and reject the cultural standard that it implies. As children of God, we have to obey God's laws and understand we answer to God, and that we respect and fear God more than man. That needs to be visible to others. Following man first is a mistake, and we have to acknowledge it, be willing to say it in front of others. We have to trust God. You do your part, and like with Jochebed, God will do his part. So ask yourself, what cultural or societal influence are you surrendering to today? And what do your children see? Remember, just like Moses grew up a man of faith, willing to work for the Lord and place his faith and trust, right? Your children see what you do, not necessarily what you say. And I want to encourage each of us to have the faith and courage of Jochebed. Right? Ask ourselves, is our standard of morality biblical or coming from society? Is our standard around the way we manage our finances biblical or coming from society? Jochebed had strong faith, and we need to have strong faith if we're going to be strong enough to reject the influence of the world. All right, we live in a world that at times can be hostile to Christians. Right, that was, we read that this morning in our influence lesson. John chapter 15, I'll read it now. John chapter 15, verse 18. Yes, we did. It says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, and I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Right? Jochebed refused to go with the flow. She refused to consider her own life, her own comfort, her own safety, and refused to bow to Pharaoh and Egypt's demands. We're going to feel pressure to bow to society's expectations. But what's important to God? That's what we have to ask ourselves. Because that's what needs to be important to us. Godly people must resist and counter the pressures of the world. If we want God to live, to work in our lives, to work in the lives of our family, we have to place our faith in him, and we must put our faith into action. God will not and cannot work in our lives without us first placing our trust in him. Hebrews chapter 11 and 6 says this better than I did. It says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For whosoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him diligently. Exodus told us a time came for Jochebed. That was Exodus chapter 2 and verse 2, where she could hide him no more, talking about Moses. And the living God only wants to use our abilities. We have to reach our time where we stop trying to hide, right, and turn over our faith and trust to the Lord. There's a limit to how much you can protect your children. Right? Jochebed couldn't protect Moses his whole life. But all of life is preparing your children to leave. You already know that. Right? Many of you already know that. You will be limited in how much you can protect them. You can be faithful in your life, but you can't make your children's choices for them. Point them to Christ, then show them what that life looks like through your actions. There's a limit to how much you can provide your child or your children. Some of us, even here this morning, are sitting under a burden that God wants to relieve you of. You may have a child where you've asked yourself what you did wrong. Your child may be under the influence of a destructive lifestyle. There's a limit of what you can protect your children from. Remember, we're limited, flawed sinners. The Lord knows children are going to rebel. My question to you is, but do you trust God with your children the way Jochebed did? Will you let God take control? God loves your children because he made them. He knit them together in the mother's womb, just like every child. That's the call to our own faithful determination. Right? Our call is to remain faithful, right, and follow the Lord, whether it's in the example of Jochebed or Father's Day, it's normally the prodigal son and his faithful father. Right? God has a plan to save his people. He had a plan to save Moses. He has a plan to save us today. Jochebed played her part through her faith, right, and trust in that plan. God always does his part. Right? We have to ask, are we doing our part? God has a plan to rescue the perishing. Right? We're not all thrashing about in a river full of crocodiles. Right? But we know the perils of this world. Right? But God can pluck us out and save us. Today, this day, where we find our place, right, is on a life raft of Christ. Right? We have to be like Jochebed, and through faithful determination, as we're floating downstream through life, right, we have to be willing to turn to Christ. Today, God tells us that we can escape judgment from all of our sins by the blood of Jesus. God will remove all of our sin from our lives. Jesus, to be fair, I've been very praising of Jochebed this morning, but Jesus is better than Jochebed. It's a new, better covenant. When we believe in Jesus and repent of our sins, and then confess him as our Lord and allow ourselves to be buried in the water of baptism, God removes our sins, and it tells us in Scripture he removes it from our lives and remembers it no more. Right? We sometimes struggle to hold on to it, right? But God has said he removes it from our lives and remembers it no more. And Christ is searching for lost souls. Right? Treading down that river full of crocodiles. Christ is combing the path, looking, seeking lost souls. So if you're not a Christian, you haven't been baptized, right, do as the Bible teaches. Right? Be completely immersed in water for the forgiveness of sin, and then make the decision to be welcomed into God's family. But for those of us who are already a member of the body of Christ, right, we have to recognize and acknowledge, right, our own influence our own ability to influence others and turn our lives over, turn guiding our journey, guiding our steps, directing our path, lighting our path over to God, right? Turn over, turn away from sin, right? We've all fallen short. Turn away from those things that are separating you from God, right? If you're in the body of Christ and this morning recognize you haven't been living in a way that's pleasing unto the Lord, just start over today. Repent. Turn away from sin and come back to doing the will of the Father while together we stand and sing the song of invitation.